Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and the world. And also want to welcome our VFN Radio audience. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Man, I don't know if you got caught our earlier program. You got to be able to catch it. What's taking place? What is your partnership and sponsorship help make it possible in Israel? And also earlier, what's happening in the World Cup and how we're there through your gifts and prayers, through Exodus Cry and being able to be there to rescue hopefully 1,000 people from
12 houses
sex trafficking, 12 houses of prayer. That's very exciting what's taking place. And also, you know, the Lord just spoke this week. The Lord just specifically told me that Washington, D.C., the government, Washington, D.C. is a house of cards. And one thing you'll hear about in one of today's programs is about VA. And it's coming obvious that in the Veterans Administration, that it's just a house of cards. We're just pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. But sometimes you got to, you can push, but you can also build foundation as you push. You got to have solid footing. You can't just hope, you know. And you got to actually have some hope and works, some faith and works, you know. And faith without works is dead.
Right.
You know, hope without works is a house of cards. And so God called specifically, says a house of cards. And you've got to hear that prophetic word because it has to do with, you know, God was specifically sharing with me that his wrath is involved. And if you understand love, deep love, God loves you. But with that comes a lot of consequences. The fact is, then that means we can really make God very angry. So you can be angry at someone and you can love them. It's amazing how many people struggle with their children. Their children try to throw back at them. You don't love me. It's like, no, no, no. The fact that you're still here, you know, you're still here.
Exactly.
You know, see?
Is love.
Yeah, this is love. And the truth is that if you love someone, then in that love, that I'm talking about, not just, you know, all these crazy things they're calling love today. I mean, right. You have this deep desire for them to succeed and to love God and things to work out and then to be okay, that you can really hurt that person. You can be angry. You can have, and God's wrath, I mean, think about it. It happened in Joel chapter 1, and we'll be talking about that, but you got to catch that prophetic word. And John began to share about that in an earlier program, but we're going to talk more about that because what we want is Joel 2. Everybody talks about Joel 2. You know, everybody wants pennies from heaven, but they don't want to tithe.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's right.
And I just heard a particular person, speaking of finances, that a lot of people turn to this particular man for financial advice. And it's a lot of great, great, good advice. But in the context of that, he talked about tithing as if it was just, God's not involved in the affairs of men. That's basically how it was responded. Versus the fact is, God says, you know, honor me this and this, give me the first fruits and see that I won't open up the floodgates of heaven and pour you out a blessing. You see, it's not your tool, your techniques and your skills. It's not your skills that are making things happen. God's blessing your skills and blessing the work of your hands. And so he's the one that gives man the ability to get wealth. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's not only just, you know, honoring God is what he said to. It's also understanding that's why we're saying to God, I acknowledge that you're the one who provides for me. So it's more than just some sort of, it definitely ain't a tip, and it's not just being a good son versus a bad son. It's understanding that you're honoring God the context of that. He says, if I am your father, where is my honor? Honor? What are you talking about? Why are you robbing me? Robbing you. Why are we robbing you? That's what he said. This is God's conversation with his people. He says, you're robbing me in tithes and offerings. And the reason for this now, the consequence of this is now your whole nation is under a curse.
Yeah.
So don't let anybody convince you and think, you know, God's wisdom frustrates the intellect of the intelligent. So the intelligence of the intellect. So understand that they don't have to figure this out. You just have to know by faith that it's God. that created the universe, and it is God who gives the ability to get wealth. And the reason why you have is because you're being faithful, or God's just being merciful. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's right.
It's not because you figured it all out, because God can actually touch us where we couldn't even tie our shoes.
That's right.
And I say this because according to George Barna, 97% of regular church attenders, according to Barna Group, it says that they don't honor God in mm-hmm. tithes and offerings. But how many people, I mean, this is not what we're even talking about. This is what we're talking about. How many people are calling this man up, talking about their money, and they're calling Susan, whoever, and talking about how to do my money and my money, 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 money. It was like, Jiminy crickets, but 80% of these guys, according to Barna Group, are not even picking up their Bibles at all. And 81% not even picking up their Bibles at all. And out of the 19% that is picking it up, they're not reading it to find out what God says about money. Only 3% are. And it's like, what are we doing? And why is money so relevant? This is what Jesus said. He said in Matthew chapter 6, he says, I believe it's 6, you cannot serve God and money. Mm-hmm. And so you got, when your whole conversation is about money and it's not about God, money's your God. What do you do with that? You repent and say, dear Lord, I made what you gave me my God, instead of acknowledging that you are God and you're the one that entrusted me with this. And I'm going to make you God. Forgive me for the idolatry in my life. Forgive me for making money God. And he says, this is how you know that if you made money your God, because you're going to be divided between the two. You're going to be miserable in both places, mm-hmm. you know? And if anybody ever tells you why they're in the presence of God and why the word of God's going forth and worship's going forth, they're looking at their watch, finding out, I got to go to work. You've made money your God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing? I mean, think about that. In the presence of God, imagine being in the throne room of God. The angels are singing, you know, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. And you're not joining in, first of all. Secondly, your mind is somewhere it shouldn't be, because he knows the thoughts that are on our mind. And finally, you actually take your eyes and look down at your watch to see that you need to go to a job and make money, which he blesses the work of your hands. I mean, how offensive is that? And then 97% to rob him? This is why the whole nation is under a curse, he said in Malachi.
All the while being in a delusional state, thinking that you can pray to a God to enter a prayer while at the same time you're robbing him.
Right.
How does that work?
Yeah. Yeah. And so I would just say God's right. Let every man be a liar and God be the truth.
That's right.
And trust God with your finances. By the way, trust him while you can with your finances. This is what Jesus said. There was this particular man that he found out he was going to be fired. He wasn't going to have a job. His boss was mad at him. And when he found this out, he was a person that was over the accounts, over the boss's store. And so people would come that he gave product to, and he would send them invoices or bills, and they would come and they would pay him. And in that, when he found out he was going to be fired, he started doing things like, this is what Jesus said. I'm just saying what Jesus said. And so, and he's telling the story about it. And so he says, man, this guy got really worried. He says, I'm too old, too proud to dig. You know, too proud to do this manual labor and too old to dig or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I need to, when this thing is over, you know, I want to be at least invited in people's homes. I want to have good relationships.
Right.
And isn't it amazing how many people that love money and love their job don't love people? It's like optional. Relationships are optional because mm-hmm. you got your job, your relationships with your job and your money. You say more things about your work coworkers than you do your co-family. And so in the context, this is Jesus talking about it. So this man finds out he's going to be fired. And so this guy starts bringing people in, and he tells somebody, this first guy says, like, I'm not using some figures here. This, you can go check the figures out. We'll have the verse for you. Okay. You owe my boss $1,000. I'm going to cut it in half. All you owe, you're going to be, give me $500 and it's paid in full.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the guy's like, writing a check out, whatever, check, some kronas or some shekels. And so then another guy comes in, he cuts his bill down, and he's doing all this kind of stuff. And so you're thinking, wow, Jesus, this sounds like a lot of business, folks. This sounds good. But he ends the story with a guy that's complimenting this guy to say he was a shrewd businessman. He understood the time. He understood what was going on, because at least in the end, And there's about to be an end of finances, I believe, as we know it. And in the end, that he said, at least I'd be invited into someone's home. And there's so many people today that they made God their money, their job their money. You haven't built any relationships whatsoever. You're part of the 97% that's been robbing God. And you're going to knock on somebody's door professing to be a believer, and they're going to say, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. I mean, they're not going to know. Are you sure? Can we trust you? Are you part of that whole thing? And he said, but if you would have used money to build relationships, use money to the money that God's given you, help people with it, because you never know how long you'll have it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Paul said. I'm not taking from you so you don't have. I'm taking the offering from you so I can give to others that don't have. So when you don't have, then these guys that you loan to now, they'll help you. And so your whole life should be helping folks, just helping them. When God looks at your check register and looks at your how you handled your finances, and when NSA finds out what you're doing, they should be going like, hey, this guy loves God. He gives away 50% of his income towards other people and helping people out or whatever it is. But in the end, by the way, whatever we did with money is truly what we did with God.
Mm-hmm.
Because if God is our God and money's not our God, guess what we did with money? We did just like this shrewd young manager. And this is what Jesus did. Jesus commended him. He commended him for doing this because he was a shrewd manager. He used the money that he had at the time and the position and the power he had at the time to love on folks and give people breaks and to help people out. And this stuff about, capitalism's done a lot for a lot of people. But if it ever takes away this component, then it's evil.
Mm-hmm.
And the component is, as Christians, we are loyal to the kingdom of God, even if it's not even capitalism in our future, because the capital for us is in heaven, the throne room of God. And this is what Jesus said to do. So we need to take care of those who have needs. We need to be known for helping others out. And understand, just like this man knew his job was about to end, a lot of things are about to shift in America. So while you have something, use it for others, not just for yourself. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Don't forget, you can catch us on at VFNTV.com on the app. You can search in your app store for V as in Victor, VFNTV, or you can, so many different ways. We have podcast,
Torch.
The Torch is so cool because you can go and sign up, you can text, what's the number?
22828.
22828. Text VFNTV, that's V Victor, VFNTV to
22828.
And in a few moments, you'll be receiving the Torch every single week. And so if you miss something on the radio, if you want to hear it again, or you think that's great, you go, man, I wish I could hear that again. Guess what? It will be sitting in your email on that Friday. So when you wake up Saturday morning and you're there Friday night, you're going to be able to go back and listen and share with other people,
mm-hmm.
what you experienced. And you can participate in the great expectation of God by sharing the good news, by sharing God's perspective. By sharing what we were attempting to do is give a light perspective of a God perspective, a biblical perspective, if you would, of what's happening in our life,
mm-hmm.
a reasonable conversation. And I got to tell you, when I was in Destin and Don and I were spending time there celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary in Sugar. It was so Sam was like Sugar out there, that I got a chance, obviously listening to VFN Radio, and VFN Radio is so encouraging. I mean, think about it. Whatever comes into your eyes, whatever comes into your ears makes you up. Faith comes by hearing. And if you want to stir your faith and hear reality at the same time, hear a biblical perspective so it doesn't terrify you, but it will give you a biblical perspective and go, hey, that's right. Like we just talked about in the first hour, the biblical perspective of our soldiers that are putting such a sacrifice out there is King David. And when you talk to your legislator, you can say, wait a minute, this is a principle that's been around. This is a Judeo-Christian country. This is what we should do. We should honor our soldiers. And you can go back and you can listen to it. We'll see, it gives you a biblical perspective when they start taking it. We're going to defund the VA, or we have a million vets that can't get into the system. It'll take us a couple, you know, then you can get a biblical perspective of the whole thing. So you hear the news, you know, that this is going on, but then you go, wait a minute, it's godly for me to stand up. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a godly thing for me to stand up for these soldiers. And that's what's called a biblical perspective. And over again, we're trying to do that. Okay, you have folks that are refusing to get out of bed and go to work. You have people that are complaining about their life being so miserable. Well, we have a biblical perspective of that we just shared, that you're going to have integrity, that got life, true peace is being able to press through and meet the demands of reality, which will require your flesh to be unhappy, but God will reward you for that, and you can have peace no matter where you are. You see, so we're able to deal with a reality that, hey, as long as your flesh is comfortable, you're going to be in bondage. But as long as your spiritual is comfortable, you're going to be free no matter where your flesh is. And so that's your body is what I'm talking about. And so I just want to encourage you that you need that kind of balance. You don't bury your head in the sand of denial and say, I don't want to know what's going on because it's too big. God's people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. You got to be able to look at both. You got to be able to look at what is going on. Then you got to hear what God says, God's word says about it. And that's called a biblical perspective. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know.
All right.
And you can get that on VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com or search for it in your app store by searching for V as in Victor, VFN TV. Or just go to VFNTV.com and get your app there. We want to give a big shout out and a thank you to all of our sponsors and partners that are out there.
Yes.
If you haven't yet visited our sponsors, you see them come up on television, you hear them on the radio, but you also can see them at VFNTV.com by clicking on sponsors. Understand it's our sponsors and our partners who stand with us to make this available. If you want to become a sponsor or if you want to become a partner, you can do that by going to VFNTV.com and click on partner or sponsor. And what we want to do, if your business is standing for God, if you're standing for God, we want people to know you're standing for God and country in Israel. Believe me, this is a time that on the side of history, because a lot of people, this is what a lot of people have been saying, you know, somebody needs to do something about this. Somebody needs to do something about this. And the question is, okay, so what are you going to do? This is what you can do. A simple, simple thing. If you partner with us, we'll partner with you. And we'll partner together for God and country in that order and for Israel. This is a time to stand. This is time for us to stand and say, you know what? Yes, this is one nation under God. Yes, it is God that determines whether a nation rises or falls. And yes, we have some bumps in the road and some terrible parts of our history, but it's God that sustained us this far. And if we turn back to him like the first and the second great awakening, he can give us another. And then we understand the reason why we have America is because of God. And so if we put that in the right order, then we have an America. And finally, understanding, you know, I'm going to stand for Israel. If the whole world turns again, I'm not going to be silent. And you can simply do that by saying, you know what? I want everybody to know that by me becoming a sponsor. And it makes me think of several sponsors right up front that are doing that, such as Mark Downey and Mark Downey's team. When you think about that, he's a great man, runs a great business, provides realtor needs of rental or purchasing or selling, but he's bold for God. He's bold for God. And there's so many of them out there that are standing with us, and we thank you. And you need to join them because we have a world and definitely a nation we want to tell about God in the country and Israel in that order.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We were talking about an earlier program about a prophetic word, a word of knowledge, what God said to me about that this whole thing, government, is a house of cards. And in any moment, understanding that, you can hear about the earlier word that at any moment, and our president even said very specifically, I'm at the quote of what the president said when he was sitting with CEOs. As a matter of fact, can you just go ahead and play what he said? And this is the president meeting with tech CEOs talking about this house of cards. And the Lord had just told me this whole thing is a house of cards. And he talked about his wrath in addition to this. But listen to the president's response about this, a program called House of Cards.
I'm just wondering if we brought the advanced copies of House of Cards.
Leo?
I wish things were that ruthlessly efficient. That's true. I was looking at Kevin Spacey. Man, this guy's getting a lot of stuff done.
What? Why are we laughing at I wish things were that ruthlessly efficient?
Thank you, everybody.
What have we come to that, you know, we are a republic, we're representative government. These are not kings, and these are not, it's not ruthless. It's actually a representative government. And we, what are we laughing at? That's not funny. I mean, we don't have a king, a ruthless king. I mean, yeah, if in fact we had a king, I mean, you have to fear those kind of statements being said, but we don't have a king, I don't think.
No.
And in that, the Lord just told me that this thing is a house of cards. And he talked about his wrath and the inevitability of these things. And he told me three times in three different ways. And in that, after he told me that, that's when I found out about this. There's a program called House of Cards and what it's about, because I found that we make it available to you at Wikipedia. But how the House of Cards, he's told me that how the president feels about the House of Cards, that he loves this particular program, talking about how ruthless, I guess, it is, or mm-hmm. whatever. But you can read about it in Wikipedia. But understand, it's not supposed to be that way. It's not supposed to be, that's not our original intent. But God told me this thing is a house of cards. This is a house of cards. And so then that's when he led me to that particular interview and showed me that this is a program that he enjoys, and he mm-hmm. laughs about it with the CEOs of these tech industries. And they were, he was asking them for a future copy of, and I guess they're the ones that produced this house of cards, like I said, executive for, Netflix. I think Netflix is the one that produces it. And so that was just shocking. But understand this, when God's talking to me about this is a house of cards, and that that the wrath of God's involved in it, the first thing I'm thinking about in the context of this, of course, what the Lord, what I share with you more details about it, you can find out about it, but about Joel, you know, Joel chapter 1, which John talked to us about, because we always talk about Joel chapter 2.
Yeah.
But this wrath of God, I mean, you know, loving God could be angry with us. We can hurt. Yeah.
Well, it starts in Joel chapter 1, but it also bleeds over to the first part of chapter 2. But right from the very beginning, when you're reading Joel chapter 1, you understand this is what the word of the Lord says here. It says, "Hear this, you elders, listen, all who live in the land. Has anything like this ever happened in your days or in the days of your fathers?" He's kind of setting them up. Pay attention here. And he says, "Tell it to your children, and let your children tell it to their children, and their children to the next generation." He says, "What the locust swarm have left, the great locusts have eaten. And what the great locusts have left, the young locusts have eaten. And what the young locusts have left, other locusts have eaten."
There's like three sessions of devouring.
Right, where there's nothing left. And then he says, verse 5, "Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, all you drinkers of wine." And
the reason why we're sharing this is because we love Joel chapter 2. But if you read Joel, you got to read 1 first to find out how we got to 2.
You can't appreciate the outpouring and the dreams and the visions and the day of his visitation without understanding how we got there.
Right. And so we're talking about a great awakening coming to America, but it looks like it's going to come on the heels of Joel chapter 1.
Right. And so he says in verse 5, "Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, all you drinkers of wine. Wail, because the new wine, for it has been snatched from your lips."
Wow.
And so, you know, God has new wine ready to be poured out upon his church, ready to be poured out on the face of this earth. But right now, it's like the church has been drunk on, just like, what's happening? What's happening in America? What's happening in the church? And I believe it was Chuck Pierce that said that the reason we have the leadership in Washington, D.C. is because of...
Well, the reason why it's stuck is because the leadership in the church is stuck, refusing to shift to God, what God wants for his form of government, family.
Yeah. Family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now new wine has been snatched from lips. And you think about it. Then he talks about a nation has invaded my land, powerful and without number, and its teeth.
Hold on a minute. So I know we don't have a lot of time here. So this outpouring is about to happen, but it comes with an invasion of locusts and an invasion of some other nations invading our nation.
Invading the nation.
So we can be hopeful. We see terrible things happening in this turbulence. Then we can look up, because our redemption's, I mean, this is about to be an outpouring.
Absolutely. to the point where everyone is now, he's giving this progression where he's telling those who mourn, come in sackcloth, those that are in the fields, come out of the fields, the bride, come out of your chambers.
Right.
All the babies that are nursing, everybody, come on out, because there's a call, a sacred assembly that needs to be called so that we can fast and pray lest this happens.
Stop. Seek God. Be broken. Let your heart be broken for what God's heart's broken for.
Yeah. Okay. He says, even the wild animals pant for you. The streams of water have dried up and fire has devoured the open pastures. I mean, you're talking about something that's completely just come in and just destroyed the land.
Mm-hmm. And the animals are drooling for you?
Drooling.
I was like, oh my goodness. Can it get any worse? My dog is looking at me wrong.
Well, then it picks up in chapter 2. Before we start talking about the outpouring, the first few verses in chapter 2, he says, blow the trumpet in Zion. And this is what we've been doing. We've been blowing a trumpet.
That's exactly what God prophetically had told us. Cool. You know, that's what he wanted, a trumpet. Yeah. That's what he established it.
So blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy hill and let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. Mm. And there's a day of the Lord. It's coming.
Right.
And we need to be prepared for it and take heed.
We used to dance around to that song thinking that it was like,
blow
the trumpet in Zion. This is a tragedy. Yeah. It's a tragedy taking place.
He says, it is close at hand, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, like the dawn spreading across the mountains. He says, before them the fire devours, and behind them a flame blazes. Before them the land is like the Garden of Eden, and behind them a desert waste. Nothing escapes them.
Wow.
So you're saying that before this whole judgment came, before the day of vengeance, before... sounding the alarm because it looks beautiful like a Garden of Eden, but when they're done,
right,
it's a desert wasteland.
So everything that is won't be anymore until this outpouring happens.
Right. And so it culminates with, you know, hey, listen, it's time for repentance. It's our only option. And this is where we need to be in America, where our only option is to turn to God. We don't need another help book. We don't need 50 ways to build a program. We have sinned against the holy God, and we don't want his wrath.
And it makes me think about the series. You got to get it at VFNTV.com. I get it. It's available for you. It's The Heart of Nehemiah, rebuilding the walls of the church, because that's what he did. He began through repentance, acknowledgement, and doing this. And it makes me think about, because imagine this. So you have this line of demarcation where behind this destructive force is hell. In front of it is a Eden. So this beautiful, blessed nation, for example, in front of it. But as it progresses, more dies and it ends up like what's behind it. But up until the point that, when I think about, you know, Nebuchadnezzar and all the things that was going on with his son, and they're partying, and they're using the things of God in an ungodly way, and they were right in the middle of a party when the hand of God showed up. This hand showed up, a hand, just a hand, and it wrote on the wall, and it wrote these words, you know, you've been weighed in the balances. In other words, you've been weighed, and you've been found wanting.
Yeah,
and people don't think God weighs things anymore.
No. You know, Joel talks about the great army of locusts, and in verse 11, they may be surprised to find out, says, the Lord thunders. Who's at the head of this army? The Lord thunders at the head of this army.
This is God doing it.
God, his forces are beyond number. The mighty are those who obey his command, and the day of the Lord is great. It is dreadful, and who can endure it?
Dear God, forgive us for our sins. Cleanse us from our iniquities. Dear Lord, let this trumpet resound across the nations so that we can hear, acknowledge, repent, and have a holy, solemn assembly and turn to you, Father God. Dear Lord God, end abortion. Send this third great awakening.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com,
on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
And you know, Pat, I abide. Do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
Steve, do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
I abide, you abide, Steve abides. We all abide together. We want to encourage you to abide along with us.
I think Chris does, too.
And I think Chris does, too. He's shaking over there.
Smile.
He doesn't have a mic. Oh, he's jumping. He abides, too. And I know Greg abides. Listen, join us in abiding. We talked about how you can get a free, simple plan. Go to iabide.org, select get your free plan today. And when you begin to abide, we want to hear what the Lord is saying to you. Contact us. Of course, you can always follow us on Facebook and go to VFNTV.com to find different ways that you can connect with us and with the program. Mm. And we want to hear what God is saying. There's so many abiders right now, and God's saying so many wonderful things. Children are hearing from God, and they're journaling what God is speaking to them in the Word. And
with
that
crayons.
Is beautiful. Crayons, pens, markers, you name it. They're just writing it down. And God's speaking to him, giving him dreams. And it's like, wow, very good. So the Spirit knows no age. You know that? Spirit knows no age.
Nope.
And when God wants to speak, he will definitely, definitely speak.
Which, by the way, if you haven't gone to the VFN Torchlight, you need to go to VFNTV.com. And in the menu, it says VFN Torch. There's all types of aspects to be able to just quick information at a moment's notice. Any topic that you can imagine probably is in there. And a biblical perspective, you know, what's actually happening, but what does the Word of God say about this, including prophetic words of knowledge and wisdom that has been shared. So if you get a chance, go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch in the menu there.
Welcome to the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily radio program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and the world. I want to welcome our VFN radio audience for those that are listening today. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Man, if you missed our earlier program talking about understanding the seasons and the times that we're in, and you know, some statistics say that our poorest person, America's in the top 1%, basically, of the world's wealth. Well, top 1% of 7 billion folks. And Jesus tells us, and we talked about this, is use that to help people. Use that to, in the kingdom of God, use it to win friends. Because you don't know, it can have it today, but Jesus was talking about a particular man that wouldn't have it tomorrow. But if he used it right, if he used money and influence and talents right when he did have them and had the ability to use them, then things would still work out with him for him when he didn't have those things. So he's saying that, you know, your existence is not contingent upon things, but if you did not use the things properly when you did have them, then it's going to be difficult for you when you don't have them. Mm-hmm. Paul said, I've learned to abase and bound. I learned how to be happy when I got things. I learned how to be happy when I don't, contented when I don't have things. Because he wasn't, I mean, this is a man who wrote Philippians from, I believe, the last book he wrote, last letter, talking about the joy of the Lord in a jail, in a Roman jail, talking about just joy, joy. I just want to remind you of the joy and the joy and the joy. And it's like, and we have one red light that goes out too soon or something. It turns red too soon. Well, Pat has one red light that goes out too soon. Man, I'm telling you,
there's only one from here.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no doubt. Well, there is actually one. There's probably two. There's two. The Metropoli. Metropoli of his limousine. He don't even notice it. He's probably just looking at his... Anyway, so if you have not heard it yet, Ben Carson, I don't know if you can see this, Ben Carson, let me get the light right there if I can see it. There we go. Man, I just can't hold it right. But there he goes, One Nation. Wrote about One Nation. I think it's going to take a brain surgeon. You know, we always had a joke. This is not brain surgery. I think this is brain surgery.
Pretty close.
Well, he wrote this book, One Nation, and I'm reading it. As you can tell, I got it all tabbed up. But he's a Christian pragmatist, and you know, pragmatism is wisdom, I believe. You know, it's like first this, then that, then this is the proper application. He served in Regents University with Pat Robinson and all the ones that are there. One of the definitely renowned in the U.S., but I think even in the world. Mm-hmm. And he has some real great wisdom for us to learn about how to express our views and how to have empathy. And how to listen to people talk and not just run over them with our viewpoints. And just because we're listening to somebody does not mean we're compromising our values. And if God loves that person, then we need to hear where they're coming from. But they also need to hear where we're coming from. And so he talks about how to do that, how to actually share your views in a very practical way. But there's one particular part of the book yet, and I just heard a brief part of this part. I hadn't got to it yet, but he's a brain surgeon. And he said he can go down into your brain and put some probes in there and cause you to start reading off a book that you read before, and you'll read it from cover to cover. Because your brain...
Wait, say that again?
Help us out.
Isn't it good?
We're not brain surgeons. Isn't it good they're actually with us? Some people.
He said that he can take these probes and put it in your hypothalamus or something like that.
Oh, hypothalamus? Who?
You spell that?
It's like, come on, you got degrees, man. You patent our challenge here.
They gave those away.
But you puts it down like your hypothalamus and stimulates the brain to begin to remember things. And he said, your brain never forgets. So if you ever read this book before, he can cause you to start talking and you start reading this book, which is amazing. I sure needed that in school.
Are you conscious during this time?
I guess your mouth. Well, yeah. Just
because your mouth's moving
doesn't mean you're conscious. We proved it in America that you can be unconscious and actually in America, right?
Sure.
You are not conscious right now. There's no way you can be conscious, but yeah, you can actually, and he says, you'll read it from cover to cover. Of course, Pat Robinson was interviewed, and he goes like, no, this couldn't be. And he goes, do it to me. Do it to me.
Yeah, all right.
And this is the big thing he was proving in that point when he was actually talking about his book as part of it, was that means it matters what you put into your mind because it never goes away.
Oh,
it
wow.
never goes it. Away. Which means you can't just look at anything. You can't just... You know, and that's what they're doing. They're trying to put stuff, and people say, what's this big deal? They're not going to change me by putting this kind of media up and putting this in movies and putting that. Listen, if it never goes away, if it becomes a part of your memory forever, think about it. Then certain moments, certain things could bring it back up again. Either way, it's there. So why do that, you know? And anyway, in this book, he talks about different things such as that and just practical type things. You know, if we really care about the future, we need to care about tomorrow's future, which is the young people, and speaking in their lives and raising them up in a way and educating them so that they can actually be future leaders. Mm-hmm. He talks about, you know, he talks about it. Then he actually gives, okay, here is a practicum. Let's go do this. Now take these four steps. You know, one thing he talks about is go out and find someone that has a different view than you and listen to them and try not to be a bully. And so many people who call themselves conservatives or Christians, right? I mean, you know, conservatism, face melting, a Christian, that they're just so rude. And what they're talking is like, we're supposed to be known about our love. I mean, why would we be yelling at someone? And besides, you know, outside of him, you are them. So there's nothing any different than you, than this person that you're talking to outside the grace and the forgiveness and mercies of God. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about, we got to begin to think about how do you talk to someone that has different viewpoints than you? How do you listen to them? Whether they listen to you or not, one way to do that is to listen to what they're saying and understand, even though you feel, and it pretty much could be, that it's based, what they're believing is based on a lie. But understand, it could be a lie that they believe. And if it's a lie that they believe, then they're coming from this viewpoint, and you got to, okay, that's why they're not, you're just crazy. Well, that's not going to solve nothing. If that's what they believe, that's what they believe.
Their perception is their reality. So.
Exactly. And so you listen to them, and you can even repeat, oh, this is what you say about this. This is what you're saying. And then you give them that time. Guess what? They're going to give you. They're going to give you time, because part of healing me is hearing me. And you can share your viewpoints at that point. They may or may not receive it, but you just earn a right to speak because you listened. And it's important to listen. And Jesus listened all the time. I mean, mm-hmm. he listened all the time. And he would even listen to the Pharisees talk and all that. And so I just want to encourage you, if you haven't got this book yet, you know, I encourage you to get it. It is a Christian pragmatist, a brain surgeon. I mean, if anything we need right now in America is a brain surgery, heart surgery and brain surgeon. He is known for a lot of things, but one thing is dividing Siamese twins, two children that were formed at their foreheads, and he actually successfully divided them. And imagine how intricate that had to be for that to be able to take place.
First time ever done.
And he talks about it. It took a team to do this, that everybody couldn't do it. Nobody had full knowledge, so they had to learn how to work together. And as they're working through this process, that they had to say, okay, I default to your gift. And through that, they came through that. And that's what we have to do. We have to understand nobody has all the answers. So that's why we have to come together. Every joint supplies in the body of Christ. And I think it's just brilliant, you know, and just it's there's nothing like just wisdom right now and intelligence and Christian intelligence and pragmatism, because we got to practically work our way, you know, through what's going on. But you can get us One Nation. We'll make access to it available on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and you see the torch in the menu. Man, VA, when we get back from this break, we're going to be talking about the Veterans Administration and what has taken place. And Montel Williams, I think, just kind of says it like it is. But it is a travesty for so many different reasons. But one of the reasons is this is what everybody's wanting to bring to America. Ever how they're treating, and I don't know, we can find out how many vets are in it, but I think it's around a million maybe vets. Now imagine having 300 million folks from the nation involved, and this is what they're doing. And it's like, dear Lord, help us, save us from ourselves in the context of what we're doing, and be there, Lord, through us by your grace for these veterans. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Understand this. If you don't abide with the Lord, now is a time. Mm-hmm. Of all the times and all the history of this nation, now is the time to begin to abide.
No doubt.
While you have time. And if you don't know how to do it, we have a plan for you at iabide.org. It's a simple plan. I mean, you can do it with a crayon and a piece of paper, but you need to believe me, because any kind of hireling you might have been following is going to panic and run. He says, this is what Jesus said. When they see trouble, they panic and run because they never cared about the sheep in the first place. And if they don't know your name, you know what I'm saying? If y'all don't know each other, it may be the fact they don't not care about you. They don't even know who you are. You need to get someone who knows your name and get close. And that normally happens in the context of a smaller gathering. So if you're in a large gathering of believers, I encourage you, you know, start in addition to that, you know, get in together in like a home group or something, or a small gathering, a coffee shop, and build vital relationships with a few other believers, and you can fundamentally transform who you are. And even that large gathering where everybody's in smaller groups. Cause I remember in New Orleans, you know, when Hurricane Katrina hit, that, these large gatherings scattered everywhere and nobody knew anybody. You know what I'm saying? The database has gone, it's wet,
right?
You know, the computer don't work. Mm-hmm. They're in Houston, they're in Louisiana, they're, in Mississippi, we were taking people in Pensacola. Mm-hmm. And this is what our friend said, Leo DeJesus, who lives right across the Mississippi there from New Orleans. He has an office that looks right over the Mississippi at the Superdome.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's cool.
He saw some stuff. No, actually, that got built after Katrina. And although he did live there, but that kind of went away because I saw the river. But he said that when the hurricane hit, it scattered the church all over New Orleans. And she's still scattered today. She's still scattered today. And that's what happens because, see, if you had shepherds, you may be scattered, but eventually your shepherd is going to find you because they know you. Mm-hmm. They know who you are. I mean, unless you're avoiding and running and eluding them, they're going to find each other.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so, but he says they're still scattered today. And I'll give a big shout out to Leo Jesus and Sandy. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Sister Sandy and brother Leo.
Yeah.
Great, great couple. She's like, get in. How did you know that? And we met her. She was working in a flower pot. And literally. Mm-hmm. And Ants, Vines, and Flower Pots is a real good book to be able to get from Charles Simpson to begin to really think about this. Listen, it is time to do what you got to do what God's called you to do. This present day situation is being fundamentally transformed. I really believe it already has been. Now it's just a matter of flipping a few switches to be able to take it there. And but the church will survive if we understand how we're to operate. And if we need a manual, we got one. It's called the Bible.
Right.
It's the Bible, and it's called, we call it abiding with God, which is spending time with him, hiding his word in our heart, talking to God, listen to what he says, and just doing it.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Speaking of Dr. Carson, Dr. Carson's comments in regards to this VA crisis. Listen to what he says. He says it's a gift from God as he's talking to Fox News.
I think what's happening with the veterans is a gift from God to show us what happens when you take layers and layers of bureaucracy and place them between the patients and the healthcare provider. And if we can't get it right with the relatively small number of veterans, how in the world are you going to do it with the entire population? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out.
And in this situation,
imagine that. And so here we are. Listen, you got to hear Montel Williams being interviewed by Neil Cavuto on Fox News, and he's expressing what so many people are feeling. This is not a political issue. These are people who fall for us, who lay down their lives for us, who lay down limbs and relationships, and just we owe a huge debt of gratitude to these few veterans. And listen to Montel.
Hear him now. Montel, you're saying that this talk back and forth about, you know, firing the secretary doesn't do anyone any good. We're losing sight of the real problem, right?
Absolutely. Let's go to solutions. Look, you can chop off the head all you want, and we still have the problem. The body's still going to run around and run around for a long time. There's this chicken out there. A lot of people don't even know about it. Crazy story called Magic Mike, a chicken who they chopped the head off of. That chicken lived for almost a year and a half, and people put it on show and displayed it all over America. They fed it through an eyedropper. Well, that's exactly what's going on right here. You can chop off Shinseki's head, chop off the VA head. The same system is going to operate because the same system is what is flawed. There have been 30 years of studies, committees. It's time to stop the ignorance. Take the soldiers off the battlefield now. They came back from Afghanistan. They came back from Iraq and Iran. They're in battlefield USA. When we have seven, look, this IG report, I hope all of America gets that. Fortunately, you know, Neil, you get it, and I just got this report 15 minutes ago and read it before coming on. The IG report says, egregiously offensive, 1,400 soldiers were made to wait for up to 17 months, and there were 1,700 not even on a list. So how can we solve a problem where we don't even know where the problem begins? I am angry, my friend. I'm angry because, you know, we made a promise. When I stood with my hand up proudly, I said, I do solemnly swear and affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and I will bear true faith. You know, I went through my oath. I told the world I'm willing to put my life on the line and die for you. Now, our guys went over. They've left body parts. Some of them never made it back. Some of them are here now, and their souls are still there. And we have the audacity to turn our back on them right this second. I'm going to tell you something. All societies are judged by what they do for the least of them, of us. The least of us are the ones who protected this democracy. We owe this debt more than anything else. The president just promised $5 billion for terrorists around the world at West Point, where he could have used the day to say, I'm sorry for the pain that I've caused you, the families, and I'm going to fix it today. And I'm going to fix it by doing something like this. Everybody who hears my voice, you can tweet me at Montel_Williams and use hashtag VA Surge. Neil, you know this. 4 years ago, this government did a surge in Afghanistan. We put 33,000 troops on the ground in less than 90 days. Cost the taxpayers of America over $50 billion. We did it. It was assessed and needed to be done. We got the assessment finished in 20 days. I'm here to tell you that right now there's a budget going before Congress and Senate. We know that there's over $3 billion of waste in there right now that no one wants. There's an aircraft carrier. There's A-10s. There's a whole bunch of stuff that we don't want. Take $1 billion out of that right now. Just add that to last year's military budget, and without any congressional orders, without a presidential signature, each branch of the service can put on temporary active duty any corpsman that just went off active duty because their service was over. Bring them back. Let's surge for the next 90 days, clear the entire backlog of appointments that have been missed. Understand what we need to do, because there are soldiers who haven't seen doctors for 3 years. We don't even know the level of illness they have,
man. But Montel,
so
would
we
you
don't
be
even know how much we got to pay?
I'm sorry, my friend, but would you be nervous about giving the VA even more money if it has a record of losing it or not accounting for it or looking after the soldiers you're trying to look after? Maybe the VA itself isn't up to that job.
We'll put the money into the account of the military so just we can pay for the salaries of the soldiers that we can bring back on. You know, I spent 22 years in, and let me explain my service so everybody understands. I'm a Vietnam-era vet. I came in on a delayed entry program in 1973, went through boot camp in 74, was a Marine, got meritoriously promoted 3 times, entered the Naval Academy, went to the Naval Academy from 76 to 1980, then I served from 80 to 1989, active duty from 1989 until 1991, 92, I did something called TEMAC, Temporary Active Duty. They were able to bring me back on active duty for 30-day, 20-day periods of time. That's part of the budget. When there's something or a crisis that needs to be done, they have it in the budget to do that. I'm saying give the budget to the military.
I see your point. There's obviously, if we were good at surges in the military to go after bad guys, we should be up to surges that help these guys. But, I think you had noticed or commented in a recent column you wrote, that we're generally forgetting our soldiers these days, those who've been injured and those who've long since left service. And you notice it just in the celebrities who go to hospitals to visit them.
Not just celebrities, Neil, but
anyone.
Do you think about this? Four years ago, 5 years ago, every award show, I don't care if it was the Grammys, the Emmys, the whatever, people stood up and said, I want to thank God and I want to thank all of our soldiers. It rolled off our lips like a saying, I support the troops, I support the troops. Well, 4 years ago when I was visiting soldiers at Walter Reed, I saw lots of people walking through the hallways. There were other celebrities there. 3 years ago, there was maybe 3 or 4. You see a couple congressmen there. 2 years ago, the numbers started going down. And the last year, I talked to the guys myself, and they say nobody's visiting us anymore.
Do you think it's battle fatigue? Do you think that maybe the president, that's part of what he was talking about at West Point? We're just tired of wars and battles, and we might be taking it out on these guys.
Yeah, but guess what? Be as tired as you want, but that barbecue you had on Sunday was paid for on the backs of soldiers who left body parts in the battlefield.
You're exactly right. You're
exactly
right.
So you have no right to forget. This is not a debt that we can say, oh, I'm not going to pay for a school lunch program. Oh, I'm not going to add more money to the FAA. No. Excuse me. This is the reason why we have a democracy. And until people really come together and get to this, you know, we're really going to have a hard time, because guess what? At the same time we're having this conversation, there are people mongering in the hallways of Congress getting ready to put troops on the ground in Syria, troops on the ground in Africa, troops on the ground in the Ukraine. Well, tell me who's going to go down and sign up and enlist today when they know that the government that they're enlisting to protect is doing nothing but lying, because when you come home, they will throw you, you know, I hate to say it this way, it's as ignorant and as distasteful as giving me the, you know, the middle finger, because that's what you're doing to the soldiers. We got to stop this.
Do soldiers
please
tell you
and
that?
It's not political.
Do soldiers tell you that when they see you, like, hey, come on, what was this for?
Brother, let me tell you, I see, talk to on a regular basis, people who've left more of their bodies and more of parts of them overseas. Their souls are still here, but they just wonder why. Why? You know, 4 years ago, people bought them lunch in the airport. Now they just kind of look at them as they pass by and kind of wink. And I'm not telling you to go buy them something. They just want to know that you appreciate the fact that the reason why we and you didn't have to send your children to do this is because they did it for you.
It is amazing. I can't add to the words of Montel in the context of this. You can see the whole interview at VFNTV.com on the torch. But understand this. This is the reality of a few vets. I don't know how many vets there are in the context of that.
There's 2.8 million Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. And best estimates, they're estimating right now there's about 21.9 million living vets, you know, right now.
Imagine taking on now 300 million when they had the secret list, and they have what you're seeing that there's 1,400 vets waiting 17 months to be able to get seen. Other vets are reporting it takes 30 days to get an appointment when broken hands. That 1,700 were not even on the list at all. Reports are that, you know, in excess of 30 or 40 died, something of that, on that list, the private list. And it's like, this is as you heard in the very beginning when Dr. Ben Carson said, I believe this is a gift from God. And he's not talking about the tragedy. He's talking about the reality that this is not doable. Government does not do things well. They do things like military, protecting the government, getting the roads and those type of things. But in regards to healthcare, it's just not done well. It just can't do it. It just feeds on itself. And all of a sudden, you know, you got all these wrong things going and people are saying you can't fire anybody. It's like, you can't fire anybody. People can die, but you can't fire.
Hello.
And so we got to pray that things will turn around. You got to call your congressmen and your senators and let them know, and the president, say, do something, stop. If we did the surge, and he's talking about pound VA surge in regards to, if we did a surge,
hashtag
VA surge, if we sent 33 million troops in 90 days with $50 billion worth of expense into Afghanistan, I believe it was, then we can do a surge to fix this. We can say, we're sorry. We appreciate what you did. I mean, think about the offense. It's hard enough to come back, for the soldiers to come back. It's just hard in general. But then to be treated this way by us, and it helps us understand, let's just focus on taking care of our vets, and let's not let the government start taking care of everybody in this nation. We're not even taking care of the ones who took care of us, that gave us the freedom, as Montel said, to have the barbecue that we had just last Memorial Day. Thank you to the families. We will call our congressman. We will call our soldier. Go to VFN, or our senators, go to VFNTV.com and find out how to contact your senators about letting them know. Do something now. Do something now about this VA situation and resolve it. Put a surge down. Get these corpsmen in there. And we thank Congressman Jeff Miller, who's on the front line saying, listen, removing a head of this thing is not going to change it. This thing has to be, my words, fundamentally transformed. This thing has to be dealt with inside and out, because this is a 30-year problem. Thank you, Congressman Jeff Miller, who heads up the committee on VA that's going to get to the bottom of this thing.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.